Plus signs at the end of the day for corn, soybeans, nearby cattle, and spring wheat futures. But winter wheat futures, feeders, and hogs all ended the week with lower futures prices. But that was for the day. For most markets, they did find a way to settle above last Friday's closes.
Live from the frigid front edge of forecast late season sub-freezing temperatures via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we wrap up the week with a conversation with Jared Creed from JC Marketing. And in the final segment, I will update you! The Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
You know, I've heard of the leading edge. I've heard of the bleeding edge. I don't know if I've ever heard of being on the freezing edge.
I'm there now. I'm living it. And it's an absolute nightmare. All right, pipe down, everyone. It's an absolute nightmare, Chip. It was like 41 degrees the last time I looked, and I didn't have the heart to look again since. That's a couple hours ago. But whatever. It's cold.
Yeah.
And, you know,
whatever.
This morning.
I'm over it.
Well, they rolled out with 19 degrees Fahrenheit in North Dakota overnight. None of us want that.
Yeah.
Do we?
Yeah. No. No, we don't. We certainly do not. We need some warmer. Yeah, there it is. We need some warmer temperatures. No doubt about that. But I think, and as soon as I say this, you know, we're going to have widespread crop failure because of freeze damage. But it feels like most of this corn crop is in a position right now where it's going to survive the weekend. So we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. Everything good with you, man?
Everything's great. Just great. There's a cacophony of chainsaws from next door, but I don't want to get into that. We don't have time for that. We're fine. We're fine.
No, you're right.
I've been working with my dog. You know, we've got AgriKitty. Who pipes in every once in a while. Thank you, AgriKitty. My dog has been working on it. Would you like to hear how far we've gotten? I think he's getting pretty close. I think I have that.
Sure.
It's not bad, right? It sounds like he said, I love you. Those two just go back and forth all day long. It's the cutest darn thing.
Do they?
They really do.
Oh, man. I tell you, we've...
Yeah?
Yeah. You know, I think this morning you were broadcasting right from the edge of insanity. I think that's what it was. Or 6 foot from insanity.
A 6 foot distance
you
from insanity.
You may have crossed
yes,
the lane, Davis.
Really? Yeah. Well, then I need to redistance myself here. It's the 6 foot rule here, baby.
Redistance.
That dog was saying,
that's
I have
right.
to
Let's
go
get
outside.
Into the news. What was moving the markets around?
July SRW wheat futures ran into overhead resistance at 525 in the last two sessions of the week, so chart watchers will be looking for a close above 525 to suggest the market has the potential to climb back to the 545 level. Support in July SRW is at this week's low of 505.75. Rains in Europe, Russia, and Ukraine made it difficult to build upside momentum in the wheat market this week, as did bigger-than-expected planted area in Canada, Chip. Crop watchers will once again be on freeze watch over the weekend. That, along with anticipation of the May 12 supply and demand report, should limit selling to start next week. July hard red winter wheat was 1.25 cents higher at 480 even. July soft red slipped a half penny to 522. July spring wheat firmed a nickel, 516 even, buddy.
Yeah, that May 12 report, supply and demand report that we're getting, it, you know, it feels like it's a bigger deal for corn and for soybeans than it is for wheat. But there have been times in the past where all of a sudden we get kind of a surprise in the balance sheets for wheat. So we need to pay attention to that as well.
Chip, corn crop watchers will also be watching for how far south freezing temperatures reach into the middle of the country over the weekend. Most say it will be difficult to do too much damage to the corn crop at this point of the growing season. Chip, Chinese purchases of U.S. corn and hope that China will do what it can to meet the Phase 1 trade agreement terms help the corn market work to the upside this week. Adding support was the increase in ethanol production and increase in fuel use from the previous reporting period. Capping upside potential in corn are expectations that corn carryover for the 2020-21 marketing year will be estimated at close to 3.4 billion bushels in Tuesday's supply and demand report. Yeah. May corn futures were 3 cents higher, but 319. July corn firmed 1 1/4 to 319 1/4. December corn closed at 335 3/4, up 1 3/4 cents. Chip.
One of the things that I want to talk with Jared about is the, because there, look at how many fundamental topics you just covered in that corn right there, right. That corn yeah. report. I want to talk to Jared about how, you know, do the fundamentals really matter right now in this market, or is there something else that we should be looking at?
USDA this morning announced the sale of 120,000 metric tons of U.S. soybeans for delivery to an unknown destination in the current marketing year. It's widely thought that China is making purchases of U.S. beans to fill state-owned reserves. Strong planting progress is limiting buying interest in soybean futures. In Tuesday's supply and demand report, traders are looking for old crop bean carryover to be estimated at nearly 490 million bushels, with the first official new crop bean carryover projection estimated near 430 million bushels. May bean futures were 7 1/4 cents higher at 848 3/4. July firmed 6 1/4, 850 1/2. November bean futures closed at 855 1/2, up 7 1/4 cents today, buddy.
Yeah, the that 430 million bushel number on expectations for the 2020-21 marketing year bean carryover. Yeah, 430 million bushels feels like a lot of soybeans, but 430 million bushels of beans aren't what it used to be. It's compared against the total use, it's a little tighter than it feels better than the 3.4 for corn, that's for sure.
Okay. Well, let's check our livestock news, where heavyweight choice graded boxed beef prices firmed $2.86 this morning to trade at $461.40, Chip. Get this, on the week, jeez, as of this morning anyway, boxed beef prices were up nearly $84 per hundredweight. June live cattle were 67 1/2 cents higher, but 94.65, and August firmed 25 cents to $100.20. May feeders, $2.37 1/2 lower, 127.90. And finally, on the snout side, hog slaughter yesterday was up 37,000 from last Thursday, but hog kill is still off by 1/3 from last year. The inability of processors to handle hundreds of thousands of hogs on a daily basis weighed on lean hog futures. Yeah. June lean hogs were 220 lower, 61.70. July hogs fell $1.77 1/2 to 61.72 1/2. Chip.
All right, Davis, let's go over the changes from last week. May corn on the week was up 7.5 cents. December corn was down a penny. So we old crop higher, new crop lower, a penny lower. Okay. May beans on the week up 1.5 cents. Novi beans on the week up 0.5 cents. So we'll all of that, we went through all of that this week, and Novi beans gained a penny. July wheat, SRW wheat up 5.5 cents. July HRW wheat down 3 cents, and July spring wheat futures were up 9 3/4 cents. Now, June live cattle up $7.40. Mm-hmm. May feeder cattle up $10.07 1/2.
Whoa.
And June lean hogs actually fell a buck to 61.70 at today's close. So, yeah, we've got a lot of ground that I want to cover with Jared Creed from JC Marketing. The number one thing that I want to think about is, what is the real value on 2020 crop corn? Jared had some thoughts on that earlier this week, or maybe it was last week. I want to dive deep into that with Jared Creed, JC Marketing, next on AgriTalk. AgriTalk! Everyone talks big yields, but Channel Seedsmen deliver advice that yields results. Every season, Channel Seedsmen match elite seed products with unmatched service and support to push the performance of every acre. That's why you can count on Channel for what you need to make the most of your season. You don't have to be a Channel customer to take advantage of this support. Visit channel.com/agritalk to sign up and receive expert advice that yields.
Bust it.
All right, welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me. We will be hearing from Davis at the end of the show again when we do the Friday Farm Fuel and Fertilizer Report. So
I've got so much to say. There's no way I'm going to fit it all in. So I'm just going to say right now, get to profarmer.com and read what I wrote this week. Buckets and bottles. My fuels report this week sounds like a George Strait tune. Lots to consider.
Love it. Love it. All right. Let's bring in Jared Creed, JC Marketing. Jared, it's good to talk with you again. How you doing, my friend?
Thank you for having me on. We're doing well. We're surviving. We're hiding out, trying to protect a seven-month pregnant wife. Yeah. So we've been hiding out in western Iowa, keeping our distance, right?
Absolutely. Good for you. Playing it smart, man. That doesn't surprise me at all that you're doing it that way. Just get away from everybody. She's carrying precious cargo, to say the least. We don't need any exposure there.
Yep.
So, okay. Jared, you introduced a concept out on Twitter. I don't remember if it was early this week or late last week. It doesn't matter. But really what you were talking about is the true value of the corn crop that is being planted or has been planted in many cases in the state of Iowa, and including all the revenue sources on it and looking at what the real value is. Am I explaining this right?
You might have me confused with somebody else there. I guess I didn't get into quite detail on Twitter, but that has been the active conversation here over the course of the last few weeks as we've obviously been looking at an incredibly challenging time. But I think there's a whole lot of meat on the bone that does need to be discussed.
Okay. All right. So let's start off with the most obvious thing, and that's price. We're sitting here with the Deese contract around 330. The basis has kind of gone to crap on us on the new crop corn, and we're trying to figure out how to make money off of marketing, but there's a lot more to be included, correct?
Well, unfortunately, at this point, it's not the old-fashioned ability to take yield times a price and hope you're generating a profit. Right. Prices are obviously at a significantly below break-even prices. I think a guy has to take a holistic approach here, a holistic view of looking at the entire farm operation. I'm going to preface this by, this isn't an advertisement on my side, and this isn't a dig at the rest of the industry that is involved in dealing with farmers. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say that this discussion is happening probably less than 5% of the time, maybe even dramatically less than that, of I think what an important discussion is at this current marketing environment. So let's just start. Obviously, simply said, our best opportunities to sell new crop 2020 corn was last May and June. Myself included, wish I had sold a bunch more. Got some sold, used some over-the-counter products to get some sold, but sitting here looking in the rearview mirror wishing there was a significant amount more sold at this point in time. And obviously, as we were booking inputs for a 2020 crop, we've just been faced with a lower market over the last 4 months. Now, you take it a step forward. In February, we booked our insurance policies. Obviously, our market was starting to move lower at that point with a $3.88 spring price versus $3.96 and $4 the previous years before. With that said, real quick on the insurance, for most producers, given the higher yields that we've seen over the last couple years and having more history behind them on their trend adjustment, their guaranteed revenue from an insurance standpoint actually still ended up being higher this year, even with a lower price, just because they have more bushels guaranteed to them. Now you take it one step further. There were some opportunities to use some over-the-counter products with the insurance space. But for this conversation, we're going to assume that a producer is carrying an 85% revenue protection policy on their corn and work through this math. So a little bit below 330 December corn futures would be the equivalent of 85% of the 388 spring price. So typically, I think it's not fair to look at your insurance and say, well, 85% of my crop is guaranteed a price at this level. Well, given on May 8th and a dramatic move that we have had in the market, that is the case at this point. Let me preface this one other thing here so listeners know where I'm going with this. I think that the majority of producers right now might not know, but they need to know that financially the odds are they're protected over 100% of their production right where the market's at today. as in I think that for many operations, the bleeding cannot get worse. On top of insurance is the winter conversations from electing your ARC or PLC programs for your corn and soybeans. Mm-hmm. Overwhelming majority of U.S. producers selected PLC for corn and ARC for beans. Yep. Prior farm bill, it was the opposite. Specific on corn, producers elected ARC because we were looking at 2, if not 3 years of immediate payouts from the ARC program. Well, PLC, with a reference price of $370, after last month's WASD, we saw our monthly average price, the farm gate price that the farmer receives that this farm bill uses to manage or measure payments to the producer.
Reference
We just went from not having a PLC situation for a long time because they were elected an ARC to all of a sudden right in our face, we're looking at a potential payment for not only the 2019 crop, but potentially the 2020 crop. With the $370 reference price, we have an incredible amount of time ahead of us to figure out what the marketing year average price is actually going to end up being for the 2020 corn crop. However, if I just made an assumption that the cash price equaled the current December corn futures price, knowing that the farmer is less than 10% sold on new crop, I think I'm safe to say that the marketing year average for the farmer for 2020, there's a benchmark there that it might be where the current futures is at. That's the potential outcome. Well, a 370 to 330 gap is obviously 40 cents a bushel.
Yep.
I think your average producer, from what I've seen, and at least Minnesota, Nebraska, Iowa, Illinois, and even sprinkle in some of the other states, their average PLC yield before they update it this fall is around 150 to 160 bushel an acre. So now it's just math. You take 85% of your corn base times your yield, whatever those bushels are, you're protected at about 40 cents a bushel if I use a 330 reference price today. So take it a step back. If you have your insurance on 85% of your production at 435, that means you're in essence, or excuse me, 388. You are 85% protected on your crop at this point. You bolt on the PLC program, and hopefully you bolt on 5, 10, 15% of forward marketings for new crop. All of a sudden, you're over 100% protected at this point. You have a put option there, in essence, from your crop insurance that's going to be in place until October. And then you have a put option from the farm gate price that unfortunately takes a long time to come to fruition, but that's going to run from September 1 until the end of August of 2021.
Right. And but that I'm put option here, is in the money right now, right, Jared?
It is in the money. I am certainly not suggesting that a producer leverages that put option, and I don't think it's the time and place to do so with the massive uncertainty we have on our hands. But if they don't know the entire financial picture and the what-if scenarios for 2020 right now, they damn well better get there. I'm afraid there's going to be rash decisions made without looking at the big picture. Those rash decisions might turn out good. They might turn out incredibly poor. Myself, for the majority of the producers I work with, I've kind of just been hands-off, and I've made a choice to do so, and that choice has obviously been wrong in the last couple months. But I'm also measuring in the background from an insurance standpoint some of the add-on products from insurance, the PLC programs, and having some grain sold, that the majority of producers, their total revenue per acre is actually going up the further the market goes down. And I don't want to wish ill will on anybody, but I have a cluster of producers, Chip, that they will have the physical best year they could have ever had on their farm if we could take December corn to 250.
I know. There have been times in the past where I had to write in the newsletter, in Pro Farmer newsletter, that if you get right down to it, we should be rooting for lower prices right now to increase our revenue. And it seems so weird, and it just is evidence of how messed up the whole system is right now, that here we are, and it makes no sense to root for lower prices to maximize your revenue going forward, but that's where we find ourselves, right?
Well, there's still risk in wishing that. You have to manage that process. Like I said, there's expiration dates on these tools from a crop insurance standpoint and a farm program standpoint.
Okay, so when we come back, we're going to talk about managing that process. And then we're going to talk about what I said we were going to talk about when the show started, and that is the fundamentals in this marketplace. Is it something that we really need to pay close attention to right now? Is there something else that we should be watching? We'll discuss that next here on AgriTalk. Jared Creed, JC Marketing. It's time for Pro Farmers Headline News, featuring some of the headlines ripped from Pro Farmers first thing today. Temperatures dive with more frost and freezes likely in the days ahead. Chinese hog producers are on edge about rising feed costs. Hog farmers in China are growing concerned about the rising cost of pig feed as supplies of soybean meal and corn tighten. I know how they can fix that problem. Soybean harvest is nearing completion in Argentina. Rains have stabilized the French wheat crop. USDA Secretary Perdue says payment limits will be increased on CFAP payouts from initial expectations. We talked about that on the free-for-all this morning. The first boat of U.S. crude in 6 months is headed to China, and some ethanol production has resumed in the United States. Guys, check out all that Pro Farmer has to offer by going to tryprofarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. I don't know what you're thinking! So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
All right, we're pushing right into the end of the week, and we're talking with Jared Creed from JC Marketing. But before we get back to that conversation, let's go ahead and get a recap of how the markets closed from Davis.
Chip, July hard red winter wheat was 1¼ cents higher at 480 even. July SRW slipped a half penny to 522. May corn futures were 3 cents higher at 319. Deese corn closed at 335¾, up 1¾ cents. May soybean futures were 7¼ cents higher at 848¾. Novi beans closed at 855½, up 7¼ cents. On the livestock side, June live cattle 67½ cents higher at 94.65, and May feeders were 237½ lower, 127.90, and June lean hogs were 220 lower, 61.70. There's your quick market recap. Back to you, Chip.
All right, thank you so much, Davis. We're talking with Jared Creed, JC Marketing. We've been talking about all the different sources of revenue and how to figure out the fair value or the actual value of a crop that's out there, and we've kind of arrived at a spot that is uncomfortable in many ways, and that if prices go down because of the crop insurance, because of the PLC, we could see revenues actually increase a bit going forward. But like Jared said at the end of the last segment, you got to manage the process to make that happen. Talk about that, Jared. What do you got to do?
Well, let me spend 10 seconds or 15 seconds just how you get that process started. This year, with the uncertainty around coronavirus, I'd highly encourage every producer, as soon as they're done planting, get your acres reported and push your crop insurance agent to get in your hands your schedule of insurance as quickly as possible. Sometimes you don't get those until August or September, and this year, way too late. Secondly, call the FSA office, your local FSA office, and ask for your EZ-156 form, and it's going to have all the information on there that you need to generate what your PLC bushels are and then start to attach a revenue source to that. Lastly, obviously, you have to start monitoring what the value of your unsold crop is, your potential yields, and what the value of the crop is that you do have sold. So you've got three or four different buckets there that you got to add together from a revenue standpoint, and that's even before you start talking about what looks like a high likelihood of another market facilitation program from the federal government to agriculture. So inside this process, once you get a good grasp of what your actual revenue per acre can be at the current market time with some estimate yields, You just simply have to take a breath and say, how does that line up against my cost production? Where do I want to be long term? Because there are some scenarios here where if the market, you know, let's just say the market has a 10% bounce for some reason. A 10% bounce between now and October, or even 15%, might be more detrimental to some operations than it is a benefit. Unless they're just going to outproduce themselves from any type of insurance scenario, which that's what we all hope to have happen. The process is tricky of how to manage that. You don't have to rush to the table and try to do certain things, but I would say on insurance, it might be the cleanest. If the market drops to a price point that your yield requirement to get yourself out of a claim is just unfeasibly higher than what you can actually raise, at that point, you are, just from your crop insurance, you're over 100% sold. You have the choice to remain that way or pull some of those potential dollars off the table in the form of a re-ownership strategy. Right. The challenge with that this year is the farmer is so dramatically undersold on new crop. We need to have a seasonal movement here to get some more new crop sales on. I don't like the farmer going out there and getting longer than what they already are. And I'm afraid there's probably a big segment out there that's sitting on a higher volume of old crop than what we would historically see at this time of the year too, which is one concern long-term here, that hedging pressure, just like every other year, still has to come to the marketplace. And I mean, it doesn't make you feel very good looking at 330 December corn or 301 low in May corn and saying, oh my gosh, we still got a lot of hedging pressure from the farmer to come to market. So let me just reiterate one comment there. You got to get this information together from your team. Find somebody to help you understand it all. Don't not do it. Because I'm telling you, the producers that I work with, PLC right now is equivalent of $60, $75, maybe even $80 an acre of potential revenue back to their farm.
Right. And in a year like that, that's the kind of revenue that you've got to capture. You got to grab from every possible source, and you need to be prepared to do it. Cool stuff, Jared. Obviously, you have spent a lot of time putting this whole thought process together and figuring out where all the different revenue sources are out there. These are the questions that. And I'm not saying run out and get on the phone with Jared and get things figured out. But these are the conversations that you need to be having with your risk management partner. If you're not having this conversation, then it's not 2020 and you're not looking at the reality that's in front of you, right?
Absolutely. Reality versus perception. The perception is we got a shit show on our hands. Reality is it's not so bad.
Yep.
Sorry. Okay. Shouldn't have used that word.
Yeah. No. I hear you. That happens. Frustration. It almost happens to me every now and then, Jared, believe that or not. Okay. Let's talk some about the fundamentals in this market because I know that you watch them closely, even if you sometimes – question whether or not it's the right thing to be doing. What's your level of confidence in the fundamentals that we look at on a daily basis in corn, soybean, wheat, cattle, hog markets?
Not in any particular order here. I still hold the hope and a belief that the market is a little anxious on the idea that China actually does meet their end of the bargain in phase one trade deal. Market participation from a long and short aspect of your participants that you continue to see on a commitment of traders, you know, that overall open interest and size of participation there has been definitely smaller than years past. Secondly, you know, when you start thinking about just fundamental acres and such here, you know, I think your corn production number could be as wide right now of a billion bushel. I'm not going to try to stick my neck out there and say, are we at 92 or are we at 98? Because I can make an argument for both of them. Beans obviously going to be the flip side of that, of what acres you gain or lose in corn. On the usage side, what I hope to get to in ethanol here soon is that we get to a point that we can estimate what demand we lost versus what we're still trying to do right now. How much more demand are we going to lose? Right. Want to get that behind us. You know, you look at worldwide production from a wheat standpoint, you got problems in the U.S., but you've got beneficial moisture in other parts of the world here. Soybean production, you've had nothing but a dwindling continued cuts to the South America soybean crop. Obviously, we've seen Brazil having record numbers of exports on this last month, record numbers going out of the country, period, you should say. Hopefully, those supplies start to dwindle to a point that opens the door for supply to move out of the U.S. I do think that that is actually a real possibility. I tell you, along with some other buddies here, I'm friendly soybeans. I am not in any hurry to price the balance of old crop that I have and any new crop at this point. The corn scenario here, big picture, I don't know if I can really sit here and say that I care when I see that our estimates for carryouts are darn near 1.6 billion bushels wide.
Wide.
Considering a couple of years ago, we had a carryout of 1.6.
1.6 billion. That's right.
So the thought process there is let some of this stuff come to fruition. You know, Garrett Toy just had a good comment a while back. In extreme times, extreme changes happen. There's some solid cases out there that we're transitioning acres. Mother Nature's not helping with that process. Corn-bean ratio has dramatically changed. On the flip side, history says we don't change acres a heck of a lot from the March intentions.
Right.
So
right.
It's any man's guess in all of that front. That's why, not to beat a drum here, but you go back to what we talked about the first segment. You got to look at your own revenue picture right now and forget about all this other stuff. That's going to sort itself out. Wait till the June acreage report to really even start to decipher what the production or total supply is going to be. You can maybe make a case that you can try to wrap your head around what our demand is going to be. But I just don't believe, Chip, if I had a gun to my head, I think we have a hard time like we have historically to spend a significant amount of time below 330 corn futures and a carry out above 2.5 billion bushel of corn. But we are also in an unprecedented time here, which creates its own own uncertainties.
Yep, your take a breath idea here on the fundamentals in the market, Jared. I think what I've been kind of talking about is I'm spending more time looking back than I am looking forward. I'm trying to get, like you said, how much demand have we actually lost, actually seen destroyed by the ethanol market so far? Once we get that figured out, then we can start to anticipate how much damage or how much better it gets from this point forward. But we're I've never looked backwards more in trying to figure out what is going on than what I am right now. And I think that's good counsel. That take a breath is some good counsel. Jared, thank you so much, brother. Man, your comments today were spot on, extremely valuable. Extremely valuable. Thank you.
Appreciate you having me on. Have a good one.
All right. Jared Creed, JC Marketing. Coming up next, we got Davis with the Friday Farm Fuel and Fertilizer Report right here on AgriTalk.
Yeah. The truth is hard to come by these days unless you listen to AgriTalk. AgriTalk.
You hear that rattling?
Are you shaking your head again?
That's me banging my head. Yeah, man.
Oh, banging your head. Okay, well, that's a lot different. Similar effect, but yeah.
Yes. Go back and listen to that, guys. That's all I'm going to say.
Living color.
Go back and listen
living
to
color.
That. Listen to both segments. Listen to both segments of,
you meant the segments.
Of Jared Creed. Yes, I did. Not just living. You can listen to Living Color, too.
Sure. But, you can do both at once.
That's right. That's right. But listen to those segments with Jared Creed again, because it's a thought process. And a couple of times he said, then it's just a math equation. Then it's just a calculation. Then it's just doing the math on this. That's exactly right. The problem is sometimes we forget to do that.
Yeah.
We can't forget to do that this year. Cannot forget to do it. Okay, it's Friday. It's the end of the show. That means it is time for the Friday Farm Fuel and Fertilizer Report. Or the start of the show.
How long was I asleep? Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report is a service of Pro Farmers Inputs. Monitor for weekly updated fuels and fertilizer prices from across the Midwest and in your crop district. Visit ProFarmer.com. Hey, Chip.
Start her over again. Let's do it one more time.
No need, Chip. I need a little extra time anyway. Couple of pretty thinky articles I've got. Okay. What it kind of boils down to here, one of the ideas that I tried to bring out this week in what I wrote is that we've got planting progress off like gangbusters to a great start already. Yep. Okay.
Right.
But it's not everybody. You know, you've got some people. Who was it we were talking to that said, yeah, I still got corn to pick yet before. And he had planters and combines rolling at the same time within his eyesight. Mike Appert.
Mike Appert, up in North Dakota.
I feel like that may help us because it's going to spread out demand, not just for fertilizer, but also for fuels. And I feel like that could work in our favor because areas that are, we're done, we're just going to need another little shot at side dress of nitrogen. That leaves areas maybe where field work hasn't gotten done quite as early to resupply as necessary. And of course, supply is one of the big drivers, especially in fertilizer prices. Let me click on the right window here. Yes, my fertilizer thoughts this week. I titled my article, Wagons Circle Around Potash as Outriders Stray. We watch our indexed prices very closely so that we've got all fertilizers as though they were one price all at the same time. And of course they're not, but we use math. You know, you got to get that math going. Everybody except for urea and anhydrous ammonia are coupled very closely with our indexed potash price. Potash knows what to do. And everybody else is kind of pulled into that vortex and expressing the same sort of price levels as potash. Meanwhile, I've got urea ridiculously overpriced compared to that benchmark, and anhydrous ammonia ridiculously underpriced compared to that. It's an okay setup. It's a wholesale thing on urea. And just real briefly, I don't have specific numbers in front of me, but word around the campfire is deferred wholesale urea contracts are below prompt tonnage right now. So, if you anticipate needing urea perhaps a little bit later on in the season, the idea is maybe let's hold off here and see if we can get just a little price cut on that. Let me run these fertilizer prices down before we get to fuels. I've got anhydrous ammonia down $2.41 on the week at $506.80. Here's DAP up $3.75, MAP down $1.77 to $418.43. That relationship is completely out of whack. Either DAP's got to fall about $20 or MAP's got a firm about $20 to correct that spread between DAP and MAP. Potash is down 79 cents at $356.99. Incidentally, wholesale potash prices look like they're about to fall as well. UAN 28% up 99 cents, $245.07 regionally. UAN 32% up $2.19 to $274 even. And urea, here's our outlier to the upside, up $14.52 to $387.10. All told, our nutrient composite index firmed $4.02 on the week to a regional average of $540.51, roughly 100 points below the same time last year. Okay, let's move on to fuels because I'm not sure if I talked myself in circles or explored both sides of the upside downside model for farm diesel. Just a couple of things. Number one, we're off. What is it? I'm seeing now. I'm trying to pull this up again. We're off 24 cents on the week. Thank you very much. Thank you. We're off 24 cents on the week. We fell 3 cents last week, and I thought, well, that's interesting. We're at $1.84. That's a pretty good price. Maybe we hook in here. Down 24 cents this week to a regional average of $1.60. It's absolute insanity what's going on here. And really, where we saw those prices fall is interesting. Missouri and Illinois are both at the same level at $1.44 per gallon. That's the lowest price we've got in our survey this week. Wisconsin down 71 cents per gallon. North Dakota off 58 cents. Michigan down 39. Iowa down 27 cents to a regional average of $1.55. But Chip, I would caution. Now, I'm not.
Okay.
I don't know. I titled the article Buckets and Bottles. Is it time to fill up every tank, every bucket, every bottle, every bag you can find on your farm with diesel? Maybe. I'd like to see it 75%, especially if you're a little bit low after planting. But just keep in mind, if Wisconsin can fall 71 cents per gallon in a week, it can firm right. 71 cents per gallon on the week. Measure your appetite for risk. I did not offer official advice on that, but get out your pencil while you're doing your math. Do your math on your diesel as well. If you can get by at what we'll call it $1.50, $1.60, $1.45, if you're in one of those other states, you know, maybe it is time to go ahead and hook in. But again, right. demand is so uncertain. Crude oil so goofy. Heating oil futures kind of higher. I don't know. Oh, distillate stocks too, up 23.5% on the month. That's massive. All right, I got to get out, Chip.
All right. Hey, thank you, Davis. Appreciate it. Okay. Listen up. I don't want this to sound trite because we mean it. And we are pulling for all of agriculture right now. We know it isn't easy for many of you, especially if you've got the responsibility of the well-being of livestock out there. We understand that you are faced with what might be the greatest challenge in your farming life. I wish we had answers for you. I wish that I could wave a wand and take us all back to the middle of February, but that's not going to happen. We are going to be here bringing you the information and the perspective that we think and we hope will get you through this extremely difficult time. Take a breath this weekend. You've earned it.